Clement O.F. Alexandria. Exhortation T.O.T.H.E. Heathen. C.H.A.P. I exhortation T.O. Abandon T.H.E. Impious mysteries O.F. Idolatry F.O.R.T.H.E. Adoration O.F.T.H.E. Divine W.O.R.T.A.N.D.G.O.D.T.H.E. Father. Amphion of Thebes and Arion of Methymna were both minstrels, and both were renowned in story. They are celebrated in song to this day in the chorus of the Greeks, the one for having allured the fishes, and the other for having surrounded Thebes with walls by the power of music. Another, a Thracian, a cunning master of his art, he also is the subject of a Hellenic legend, tamed the wild beasts by the mere might of song, and transplanted trees oaks by music. I might tell you also the story of another, a brother to these, the subject of a myth, and a minstrel Aenomus the Locrian, and the Pythic grasshopper. A solemn Hellenic assembly had met at Peto to celebrate the death of the Pythic serpent, when Aenomus sang the reptile's epitaph, whether his ode was a hymn in praise of the serpent, or a dirge, I am not able to say. But there was a contest, and Aenomus was playing the lyre in the summertime. It was when the grasshoppers, warmed by the sun, were chirping beneath the leaves along the hills, but they were singing not to that dead dragon, but to God all-wise, who lay unfettered by rule, better than the numbers of Aenomus. The Locrian breaks a string, the grasshopper sprang on the neck of the instrument, and sang on it, as on a branch, and the minstrel, adapting his strain to the grasshopper's song, made up for the want of the missing string. The grasshopper then was attracted by the song of Aenomus, as the fable represents, according to which also a brazen statue of Aenomus, with his lyre, and the Locrian's ally, in the contest, was erected at Peto, but of its own accord it flew to the lyre, and of its own accord sang, and was regarded by the Greeks, as a musical performer. How, let me ask, have you believed vain fables, and supposed animals to be charmed by music, while truth's shining face alone, as would seem, appears to you disguised, and is looked on with incredulous eyes? And so Cithaeron, and Helicon, and the mountains of the Idrisi, and the initiatory rites of the Thracians, mysteries of deceit, are hallowed and celebrated in hymns. For me, I am pained at such calamities, as form the subjects of tragedy, though but myths, but by you the records of miseries are turned into dramatic compositions. But the dramas and the raving poets, now quite intoxicated, let us crown with ivy, and distracted outright, as they are, in Bacchic fashion, with the satyrs, and the frenzied rabble, and the rest of the demon crew, let us confine to Cithaeron and Helicon, now antiquated. But let us bring from above out of heaven truth with wisdom in all its brightness, and the sacred prophetic choir down to the holy mount of God, and let truth, darting her light to the most distant points, cast her rays all around on those that are involved in darkness, and deliver men from delusion, stretching out her very strong one, right hand, which is wisdom, for their salvation, and raising their eyes, and looking above, let them abandon Helicon and Cithaeron, and take up their abode in Sion. For out of Sion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, to the celestial word, the true athlete crowned in the theater of the whole universe. What my Aenomus sings is not the measure of Terpander, nor that of Capito, nor the Phrygian, nor Lydian, nor Dorian, but the immortal measure of the new harmony which bears God's name, the new, the Levitical song. 3. Soother of pain, calmer of wrath, producing forgetfulness of all ills. 4. Sweet and true is the charm of persuasion which blends with this strain. To me, therefore, that Thracian Orpheus, that Theban, and that Methymnian, men, and yet unworthy of the name, seem to have been deceivers, who, under the pretense of poetry corrupting human life, possessed by a spirit of artful sorcery for purposes of destruction, celebrating crimes in their orgies, and making human woes the materials of religious worship, were the first to entice men to idols' neck, to build up the stupidity of the nations with blocks of wood and stone, that is, statues and images, subjecting to the yoke of extremist bondage the truly noble freedom of those who lived as free citizens under heaven by their songs and incantations. But not such as my song, which has come to loose, and that speedily, the bitter bondage of tyrannizing demons, and leading us back to the mild and loving yoke of piety, recalls to heaven those that had been cast prostrate to the earth. It alone has tamed men, the most intractable of animals, the frivolous among them answering to the fowls of the air, deceivers to reptiles, the irascible to lions, the voluptuous to swine, the rapacious to wolves, the silly are stocks and stones, and still more senseless than stones is a man, who is steeped in ignorance. As our witness, Let us adduce the voice of prophecy accordant with truth, and bewailing those who are crushed in ignorance and folly, for God is able of these stones to raise up children to Abraham. 1, and he, commiserating their great ignorance and hardness of heart, who are petrified against the truth, has raised up a seed of piety, sensitive to virtue, of those stones of the nations, that is, who trusted in stones. Again, therefore, some venomous and false hypocrites, who plotted against righteousness, he once called a brood of vipers. 2. But if one of those serpents even is willing to repent, and follows the word, he becomes a man of God. Others he figuratively calls wolves, clothed in sheepskins, meaning thereby monsters of rapacity in human form, and so all such most savage beasts, and all such blocks of stone, the celestial song has transformed into tractable men. For even we ourselves were sometime foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. Thus speaks the apostolic scripture. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior to man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. 3. Behold the might of the new song. It has made men out of stones, men out of beasts. Those, moreover, that were as dead, not being partakers of the true life, have come to life again, simply by becoming listeners to this song. It also composed the universe into melodious order, and tuned the discord of the elements to harmonious arrangement, so that the whole world might become harmony. It let loose the fluid ocean, and yet has prevented it from encroaching on the land, the earth, again, which had been in a state of commotion. It has established, and fixed the sea as its boundary. The violence of fire it has softened by the atmosphere, as the Dorian is blended with the Lydian strain, and the harsh cold of the air it has moderated by the embrace of fire. Harmoniously arranging these the extreme tones of the universe, and this deathless strain, the support of the whole, and the harmony of all, reaching from the center to the circumference, and from the extremities to the central part, has harmonized this universal frame of things, not according to the Thracian music, which is like that invented by Jubal, but according to the paternal counsel of God, which fired as he loved David, and he who is of David, and yet before him, the word of God, despising the lyre and harp, which are but lifeless instruments, and having tuned by the Holy Spirit the universe, and especially man, who, composed of body and soul, is a universe in miniature, makes melody to God. On this instrument of many tones, and to this instrument I mean man, he sings accordant, for thou art my harp, and pipe, and temple. For a harp for harmony, a pipe by reason of the spirit, a temple by reason of the word, so that the first may sound, the second breathe, the third contain the Lord, and David the king, the harper whom we mentioned a little above, who exhorted to the truth and dissuaded from idols, was so far from celebrating demons in song, that in reality they were driven away by his music. Thus, when Saul was plagued with a demon, he cured him by merely playing, a beautiful breathing instrument of music. The Lord made man after his own image, and he himself also, surely, who is the supramundane wisdom, the celestial word, is the all-harmonious, melodious, holy instrument of God. What, then, does this instrument, the word of God, the Lord, the new song desire? To open the eyes of the blind, and unstop the ears of the deaf, and to lead the lame, or the erring to righteousness, to exhibit God to the foolish, to put a stop to corruption, to conquer death, to reconcile disobedient children to their father. The instrument of God loves mankind. The Lord pities, instructs, exhorts, admonishes, saves, shields, and of his bounty promises us the kingdom of heaven, as a reward for learning, and the only advantage he reaps is that we are saved. For wickedness feeds on men as destruction, but truth, like the bee, harming nothing, delights only in the salvation of men. You have, then, God's promise, you have his love, become partaker of his grace, and do not suppose the song of salvation to be new, as a vessel, or a house is new. For, before the morning star it was, and, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. 2. Error seems old, but truth seems a new thing. Whether, then, the Phrygians are shown to be the most ancient people by the goats of the fable, or, on the other hand, the Arcadians, by the poets, who describe them as older than the moon, or, finally, the Egyptians, by those who dream that this land first gave birth to gods and men, yet none of these at least existed before the world. But before the foundation of the world were we, who, because destined to be in him, pre-existed in the eye of God, before, we the rational creatures of the Word of God, on whose account we date from the beginning, for, in the beginning was the Word, well, inasmuch as the Word was from the first, he was, and is the divine source of all things, but inasmuch as he has now assumed the name Christ, consecrated of old, and worthy of power, he has been called by me the new song. This Word, then, the Christ, the cause of both our being at first, for he was in God, and of our well-being, this very Word has now appeared as man, he alone being both God and man, the author of all blessings, to us by whom we, being taught to live well, are sent on our way to life eternal. For, according to that inspired apostle of the Lord, the grace of God which bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us, that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly, in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and appearing of the glory of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. 3. This is the new song, 4, the manifestation of the Word that was in the beginning, and before the beginning, the Savior, who existed before, has in recent days appeared. He, who is in him that truly is, has appeared, for the Word, who was with God, and by whom all things were created, has appeared as our teacher. The Word, who in the beginning bestowed on us life as Creator, when he formed us, taught us to live well when he appeared as our teacher, that as God he might afterwards conduct us to the life which never ends. He did not now for the first time pity us for our error, but he pitied us from the first, from the beginning. But now, at his appearance, lost as we already were, he accomplished our salvation. For that wicked reptile monster, by his enchantments, enslaves and plagues men even till now, inflicting, as seems to me, such barbarous vengeance on them as those who are said to bind the captives to corpses till they rot together. This wicked tyrant and serpent, accordingly, binding fast with the miserable chain of superstition whomsoever he can draw to his side from their birth to stones and stocks and images and such like idols, may with truth be said to have taken and buried living men with those dead idols, till both suffer corruption together. Therefore, for the seducer is one and the same, he that at the beginning brought Eve down to death, now brings thither the rest of mankind, our ally and helper. 2. Is one and the same the Lord, who from the beginning gave revelations by prophecy, but now plainly calls to salvation, in obedience to the apostolic injunction. Therefore, let us flee from the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. 5. And let us run to the Lord the Savior, who now exhorts to salvation, as he has ever done, as he did by signs and wonders in Egypt and the desert, both by the bush and the cloud, which, through the favor of divine love, attended the Hebrews, like a handmaid. By the fear which these inspired, he addressed the hard-hearted, while by Moses, learned in all wisdom, and Isaiah, lover of truth, and the whole prophetic choir, in a way appealing more to reason, he turns to the Word those who have ears to hear. Sometimes he upbraids, and sometimes he threatens. Some men he mourns over, others he addresses with the voice of song. Just as a good physician treats some of his patients with cataplasms, some with rubbing, some with fomentations. In one case cuts open with the lancet, in another cauterizes, in another amputates, in order, if possible, to cure the patient as diseased part or member. The Savior has many tones of voice, and many methods for the salvation of men. By threatening he admonishes, by upbraiding he converts, by bewailing he pities, by the voice of song he cheers. He spake by the burning bush for the men of that day, and he did signs and wonders. He awed men by the fire when he made flame to burst from the pillar of cloud, a token at once of grace and fear. If you obey, there is the light. If you disobey, there is the fire. But, since humanity is nobler than the pillar or the bush, after them the prophets uttered their voice, the Lord himself speaking in Isaiah, in Elias speaking himself by the mouth of the prophets. But if thou dost not believe the prophets, but supposest both the man and the fire a myth, the Lord himself shall speak to thee, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but humbled himself, when he, the merciful God, exerting himself to save man. And now the Word himself clearly speaks to thee, shaming thy unbelief. Yea, I say, the Word of God became man, that thou mayest learn from man how man may become God. Is it not then monstrous, my friends, that while God is ceaselessly exhorting us to virtue, we should spurn his kindness and reject salvation? Does not John also invite to salvation, and is he not entirely a voice of exhortation? Let us then ask him, Who of men art thou, and whence? He will not say Elias. He will deny that he is Christ, but will profess himself to be a voice crying in the wilderness. Who, then, is John? 2. In a word, we may say, the beseeching voice of the Word crying in the wilderness, What criest thou, O voice? Tell us also. Make straight the paths of the Lord. 3. John is the forerunner, and that voice the precursor of the Word, an inviting voice, preparing for salvation, a voice urging men onto the inheritance of the heavens, and through which the barren and the desolate is childless no more. This fecundity the angel's voice foretold, and this voice was also the precursor of the Lord preaching glad tidings to the barren woman, as John did to the wilderness. By reason of this voice of the Word, therefore, the barren woman bears children, and the desert becomes fruitful. The two voices which heralded the Lord's, that of the angel and that of John, intimate, as I think, the salvation in store for us to be, that on the appearance of this Word we should reap, as the fruit of this productiveness, eternal life. The Scripture makes this all clear by referring both the voices to the same thing. Let her hear who has not brought forth, and let her who has not had the pangs of childbirth utter her voice, for more are the children of the desolate, and of her who hath an husband. 4. The angel announced to us the glad tidings of a husband. John entreated us to recognize the husbandman, to seek the husband. For this husband of the barren woman, and this husbandman of the desert, who filled with divine power the barren woman and the desert, is one and the same. For because many were the children of the mother of noble rule, yet the Hebrew woman, once blessed with many children, was made childless because of unbelief. The barren woman receives the husband, and the desert the husbandman. Then both become mothers through the Word, the one of fruits, the other of believers. But to the unbelieving the barren and the desert are still reserved. For this reason, John, the herald of the Word, besought men to make themselves ready against the coming of the Christ of God. 5. And it was this which was signified by the dumbness of Zacharias, which waited for fruit in the person of the harbinger of Christ, that the Word, the light of truth, by becoming the gospel, might break the mystic silence of the prophetic enigmas. But if thou desirest truly to see God, take to thyself means of purification worthy of him, not leaves of laurel fillets interwoven with wool and purple, but wreathing thy brows with righteousness, and encircling them with the leaves of temperance, set thyself earnestly to find Christ. For I am, he says, the door, 6, which we who desire to understand God must discover, that he may throw heaven's gates wide open to us. For the gates of the Word, being intellectual, are opened by the key of faith. No one knows God but the Son, and he to whom the Son shall reveal him. 7. And I know well that he who has opened the door hitherto shut will afterwards reveal what is within, and will show what we could not have known before, had we not entered in by Christ, through whom alone God is beheld. Chap. 2. The absurdity and the impiety of the heathen mysteries and the fables about the birth and the death of their gods. Explore not then too curiously the shrines of impiety, or the mouths of caverns full of monstrosity, or the Thesprotian cauldron, or the Syrian tripod, or the Dodonian copper. The Gerundrion, 8, once regarded sacred in the midst of desert sands, and the oracle there gone to decay with the oak itself, consigned to the region of antiquated fables. The fountain of Castalia is silent, and the other fountain of Colophon, and, in like manner, all the rest of the springs of divination are dead, and stripped of their vain glory, although at a late date, are shown with their fabulous legends, to have run dry. Recount to us also the useless 9 oracles of that other kind of divination, or rather madness, the Clarion, the Pythian, the Didymaean, that of Amphiaraes, of Apollo, of Amphilochus, and if you will, couple 10, with them the expounders of prodigies, the augurs, and the interpreters of dreams, and bring, and place beside the Pythian those that divine by flour, and those that divine by barley, and the ventriloquists still held in honor by many. Let the secret shrines of the Egyptians, and the necromancies of the Etruscans be consigned to darkness. Insane devices truly are they all of unbelieving men. Goats, too, have been confederates in this art of soothsaying, trained to divination, and crows taught by men to give oracular responses to men. And what if I go over the mysteries? I will not divulge them in mockery, as they say Alcibiades did, but I will expose right well by the word of truth the sorcery hidden in them, and those so-called gods of yours, whose are the mystic rites, I shall display, as it were, on the stage of life, to the spectators of truth, The Bacchanals hold their orgies in honor of the frenzied Dionysus, celebrating their sacred frenzy by the eating of raw flesh, and go through the distribution of the parts of butchered victims, crowned with snakes, shrieking out the name of that Eva, by whom error came into the world. The symbol of the Bacchic orgies is a consecrated serpent. Moreover, according to the strict interpretation of the Hebrew term, the name Hevea, aspirated, signifies a female serpent. Demeter and Proserpine have become the heroines of a mystic drama, and their wanderings and seizure and grief Eleusis celebrates by torchlight processions. I think that the derivation of orgies and mysteries ought to be traced, the former to the wrath O-R-G-H, of Demeter against Zeus, the latter to the nefarious wickedness Mu-S-O-S, relating to Dionysus, but if from Midas of Attica, who Polydorus says was killed in hunting, no matter, I don't grudge your mysteries the glory of funeral honors. You may understand Mysteria in another way, as Mytheria hunting fables, the letters of the two words being interchanged for certainly fables of this sort hunt after the most barbarous of the Thracians, the most senseless of the Phrygians, and the superstitious among the Greeks. Perish, then, the man who was the author of this imposture among men, be he Dardanus, who taught the mysteries of the mother of the gods, or Aetion, who instituted the orgies and mysteries of the Samothracians, or that Phrygian Midas, who, having learned the cunning imposture from Odrysas, communicated it to his subjects, for I will never be persuaded by that Cyprian islander Cineras, who dared to bring forth from night to the light of day the lewd orgies of Aphrodite, in his eagerness, to deify a strumpet of his own country. Others say that Melampus the son of Amythan imported the festivals of Ceres from Egypt into Greece, celebrating her grief in song. These I would instance as the prime authors of evil, the parents of impious fables, and of deadly superstition, who sowed in human life that seed of evil, and grew in the mysteries. And now, for it is time, I will prove their orgies to be full of imposture and quackery, and if you have been initiated, you will laugh all the more at these fables of yours which have been held in honor. I publish without reserve what has been involved in secrecy, not ashamed to tell what you are not ashamed to worship. There is then the foam-born and cypress-born, the darling of Cineras, I mean Aphrodite, lover of the Virilia, because sprung from them, even from those of Uranus, that were cut off, those lustful members, that, after being cut off, offered violence to the waves, of members so lewd a worthy fruit Aphrodite is born, in the rites which celebrate this enjoyment of the sea, as a symbol of her birth a lump of soot, and the phallus are handed to those who are initiated into the art of uncleanness, and those initiated bring a piece of money to her, as a courtesan's paramours due to her. Then there are the mysteries of Demeter, and Zeus's wanton embraces of his mother, and the wrath of Demeter I know not what for the future I shall call her, mother, or a wife, on which account it is that she is called Primo, as is said also the entreaties of Zeus, and the drink of gall, the plucking out of the hearts of sacrifices, and deeds, that we dare not name, such rites the Phrygians perform in honor of Attis and Cybele, and the Cophrobates, and the story goes, that Zeus, having torn away the orchites of Ram, brought them out and cast them at the breasts of Demeter, paying thus a fraudulent penalty for his violent embrace, pretending to have cut out his own. The symbols of initiation into these rites, when set before you in a vacant tower, I know will excite your laughter, although on account of the exposure by no means inclined to laugh. I have eaten out of the drum, I have drunk out of the symbol, I have carried the cernos, one, I have slipped into the bedroom, are not these tokens a disgrace? Are not the mysteries absurdity? What if I add the rest? Demeter becomes a mother. Coer too, is reared up to womanhood, and, in course of time, he who begot her, the same Zeus has intercourse with his own daughter Phaerephata, after Ceres, the mother. Forgetting his former abominable wickedness, Zeus is both the father and the seducer of Coer, and shamefully courts her in the shape of a dragon. His identity, however, was discovered. The token of the Sabazian mysteries to the initiated is the deity gliding over the breast, the deity being the serpent crawling over the breasts of the initiated. Proof surely this of the unbridled lust of Zeus. Phaerephata has a child, though, to be sure, in the form of a bull, as an idolatrous poet says. The bull the dragon as father, and the father of the bull the dragon, until the herdsman as hidden ox goad. Alluding, as I believe, under the name of the herdsman's ox goad, to the reed wielded by Bacchanals, do you wish me to go into the story of Persephone's gathering of flowers, her basket, and her seizure by Pluto Aedonius, and the rent in the earth, and the swine of Abula that were swallowed up with the two goddesses, for which reason, in the Thesmophoria, speaking the Megaric tongue, they thrust out swine. This mythological story the women celebrate variously in different cities, in the festivals called Thesmophoria and Cirrophoria, dramatizing in many forms the rape of Phaerephata or Persephone Proserpine. The mysteries of Dionysus are wholly inhuman, for while still a child, and the Curetes danced around his cradle, clashing their weapons, and the Titans having come upon them by stealth, and having beguiled him with childish toys, these very Titans tore him limb from limb, when, but a child, as the bard of this mystery, the Thracian Orpheus, says: cone, and spinning top, and limb-moving rattles, and fair golden apples from the clear-toned Hesperides. And the useless symbols of this mystic rite it will not be useless to exhibit for condemnation. These are dice, ball, hoop, apples, top, one, looking glass, tuft of wool. Athene Minerva, to resume our account, having abstracted the heart of Dionysus, was called Pallas, from the vibrating of the heart, and the Titans, who had torn him limb from limb, setting a cauldron on a tripod, and throwing into it the members of Dionysus, first boiled them down, and then fixing them on spits, held them over the fire. But Zeus having appeared, since he was a god, having speedily perceived the savor of the pieces of flesh that were being cooked, that savor which your gods agree to have assigned to them as their perquisite, assails the Titans with his thunderbolt, and consigns the members of Dionysus to his son Apollo, to be interred. And he, for he did not disobey Zeus, bore the dismembered corpse to Parnassus, and there deposited it. If you wish to inspect the orgies of the Corobantes, then know that, having killed their third brother, they covered the head of the dead body with a purple cloth, crowned it, and carrying it on the point of a spear, buried it under the roots of Olympus. These mysteries are, in short, murders and funerals, and the priests of these rites, who are called kings of the sacred rites by those whose business it is to name them, give additional strangeness to the tragic occurrence by forbidding parsley with the roots from being placed on the table, for they think that parsley grew from the corybantic blood that flowed forth just as the women, in celebrating the Thesmophoria, abstain from eating the seeds of the pomegranate which have fallen on the ground. From the idea that pomegranates sprang from the drops of the blood of Dionysus, those corybantes also they call Cabaric, and the ceremony itself they announce as the Cabaric mystery. For those two identical fratricides, having abstracted the box in which the phallus of Bacchus was deposited, took it to a Truria dealer's in honorable wares truly. They lived there as exiles, employing themselves in communicating the precious teaching of their superstition, and presenting phallic symbols, and the box for the Tyrrhenians to worship, and some will have it, not improbably, that for this reason Dionysus was called Attis, because he was mutilated. And what is surprising at the Tyrrhenians, who were barbarians, being thus initiated into these foul indignities, when among the Athenians, and in the whole of Greece, I blush to say it, the shameful legend about Demeter holds its ground. For Demeter, wandering in quest of her daughter Cor, broke down with fatigue near Eleusis, a place inadequate, and sat down on a well overwhelmed with grief. This is even now prohibited to those who are initiated, lest they should appear to mimic the weeping goddess. The indigenous inhabitants then occupied Eleusis. Their names were Bobo, and Deusals, and Triptolemus, and besides, Hoimalpas and Abula. Triptolemus was a herdsman, Hoimalpas a shepherd, and Abula a swineherd, from whom came the race of the Eumolpidae, and that of the heralds, a race of Hierophants, who flourished at Athens. Well, then, for I shall not refrain from the recital, Bobo, having received Demeter hospitably, reaches to her a refreshing draught, and on her refusing it, not having any inclination to drink, for she was very sad, and Bobo having become annoyed, thinking herself slighted, uncovered her shame, and exhibited her nudity to the goddess. Demeter is delighted at the sight, and takes, though with difficulty, the draught, pleased, I repeat, at the spectacle. These are the secret mysteries of the Athenians, these Orpheus records. I shall produce the very words of Orpheus, that you may have the great authority on the mysteries himself, as evidence for this piece of turpitude. Having thus spoken, she drew aside her garments, and showed all that shape of the body which it is improper to name. And, with her own hand, Bobo stripped herself under the breasts. Blandly then the goddess laughed, and laughed in her mind, and received the glancing cup, in which was the draught. And the following is the token of the Eleusinian mysteries I have fasted. I have drunk the cup I have received from the box, having done, I put it into the basket, and out of the basket into the chest. 1. Fine sights truly, and becoming of goddess mysteries worthy of the night, and flame, and the magnanimous or rather silly people of the Erechtidae, and the other Greeks, besides, whom a fate they hope not for awaits after death, and in truth against these Heraclitus the Ephesian prophesies, as, the nightwalkers, the magi, the bacchanals, the Linnean revelers, the initiated, these he threatens with what will follow death, and predicts for them fire. For what are regarded among men as mysteries, they celebrate sacrilegiously. Law, then, and opinion, are nugatory,